She will not see the spring.
But she was in good health in Rumkova. You must be mistaken in this, Finnan.
Oh, I wish I was mistaken. She does not have long.
You conceal this from me?
Edith begged me to wait until the battle was won before I told you. Your mind was in your daughter. It would have been wrong for me to add to your troubles. I'm sorry, Uhtred.
It cannot be.
You have loved each other for many years. We've all seen it. Even if the lady cannot speak of it. So I know the pain you've carried since she took her veil.
She would want you to be with Uhtred. You must go to her.
I thought there would be more. There's so much I should have said.
There's still time.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake. It's a podcast dedicated to The Last Kingdom on Netflix. So grab an ale, sit back and relax, and let's see how England was born. Welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I think that scene that we just played might be my favorite scene in The Last Kingdom since the Hild scene. Remember when they were sitting in the sunset in the fields?
Yes.
That might be it. It's for some reason, Alexander Draymond, like as you know, and as we've, I think all the nerds know, I took some time to kind of warm up to him. I think you also took some time to kind of warm up to him.
Agreed.
I think it's for various reasons, but in
whether it's him or the character of Uhtred.
Yeah. I think there are times when he really shines, and this was one of them where it just the way that his response was to Finnan and the time that they took to allow that response to be and starting sentences, not finishing them. I felt like this was a great, great scene. Mm. I was a big fan.
Agreed.
Huge fan of this.
Agreed.
So yeah, that was that, man. I'm in. I'm sorry. I'm rambling here. I don't want to.
Well, before you ramble, I do want to remind everybody that you can subscribe to the podcast by going to your favorite podcatcher of choice. We would love for you, if you haven't taken the time yet, to head on over to Apple Podcasts, even if you listen on YouTube or Stitcher or however. I want you to take a moment to head over to Apple Podcasts and write us a written review. Apple Podcasts is pretty much like the Google of podcasts. It's the one that people go to a lot to search. Mm-hmm. So if you could go there and leave The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake a written review, in addition to the 5 stars, thank you very much, it would mean a lot to us. And we read them and they're like little hugs to us from afar.
You know, you got like this really cool NPR Jessica Rabbit thing going on right now.
Thank you.
I'm kind of in.
Oh, I'm kind of in. Fun fact, friends, we are recording at 7 a.m.
Yes.
So this is what I sound like when I wake up.
I think we should do this more often.
We probably have to just because of our scheduling, but this is what it sounds like when you wake up and you haven't really cleared your throat or had a hot tea yet. And thank our friends at jointhenerdclan.com. If you are not yet a member there, we highly recommend that you join there. It's for as little as $2 a month. It truly goes to support this mom and pop podcast. So if you're someone who believes in, you know, individually owned coffee shops, or, you know, you just like to support the little man. We're not little. I mean, we're actually giants. We're really tall, but we have a little business. I'm
6'4", 240.
Yeah. I'm essentially 6 foot tall. And when I wear heels,
oh, yeah.
God bless you if you're
you're under a 6'2". Yeah, you're a 6'2".
Yes. All right, let's get into the show.
Let's do it.
Episode recap. Are you so excited?
Always. I love these recaps, especially with this Jessica Rabbit voice you got going on.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Let's go.
Okay. So, in the aftermath of the tragic battle for Everwitch, Sid Trigger is forced to make a painful choice, and Edward, of course, learns of Ethelhem's intrigues in Mercia. Uh-huh. So, you know, they come, they save the day because Brita's daughter dies. And Uhtred ends up helping out a little bit. Uhtred also, as we heard in the clip earlier, learns that Ethel Fled is dying.
Yes.
And hopefully this means a lot of Ethels go away.
Mary's out on Ethels.
Oh my gosh. Ethelhem and Ethel Fled. If they die and we have no more Ethels in our life, and we still have Ethel Stan.
I was just going to say, we're still stuck with an Ethel.
But you know, there's
Ethel
only
Stan's
one.
Ethel Stan's not going to die.
Oh, why not?
Because we know he's going to become the King of England.
Oh, wait. I like Ethel Stan.
Yes.
Okay, he can be the one and only Ethel.
Yeah.
What's his brother's name? Half-brother?
Oh, I think...
Whatever. Dweeb, who doesn't even deserve to be an Ethel.
Dweeb.
I mean, it's not his fault. He's got a crabby, terrible grandfather.
Yeah, Phil sucks.
So, you know, I actually to retract that statement.
Well, he's still a little dweeby. He's dweeb by association.
But he's the spare, you know?
Yeah. Kill the spare.
Yeah, bless his heart. All right, that's wizard, a good Harry. Recap.
Good recap, Mary. Of course, as Mary said, well, I'm not sure if you did say, but this is episode 202, and the director was...
No, it's not.
I'm sorry.
Wait, I thought we were on...
I know, I said 202. My brain just...
Yeah, you're not a
melted.
Morning person. You
just
need a
melted.
Coffee before we do these.
I know.
It's so episode 503.
It is episode 503. Where the hell did 202 come from? I have
Bebenberg,
no idea.
I don't know.
503. Director was Andy Hay, who has directed for The Last Kingdom before. Those episodes were 406, 405, and also the first episode of season 5 as well. So, Andy Hay. And the writer was Laura Grace. Now, Laura Grace has written a bunch of different television series, though they are all English television. So, I mean, you know, Das Boot, Intergalactic, like, okay, go figure that out on your own time. Like,
okay.
That is what it is.
I
so,
won't.
Not much in terms of her writing history. So, what do you got, Mary, for your Shields rating for this episode?
You know, I'm giving it a 4.6. I did enjoy that clip that you played in the beginning, for example. I liked moments, actually, with Ethel Fled. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of it where I was just kind of snooze fest.
Okay.
But
that was it?
Yeah.
All right. I'm giving it a 4, too. I'm sticking with this through line here, like the 4.1 through 4.2, like We're living in that range here, and it's not to say that it's bad. It's not to say that it's great. It's serviceable. I think we're getting there, and we kind of had to get through some stuff in order to get to the good stuff. And right now, that's where we are. There's a lot of great, and there's also some bad where I'm like, what are we thinking?
I don't know what we're thinking.
So your GBG.
Before we get into the GBGs, I want to let you know that the GBGs are sponsored by MinuteWithMary.com.
Yes.
So in case you're in the market for some new makeup or some new skincare products, in addition to podcasting, I also sell beauty products at MinuteWithMary.com. And if you're on Facebook, you can search the hashtag MinuteWithMary. You could join my exclusive Facebook group, and there I'll be able to give you complimentary color matches and all that kind of stuff. And if you're a mascara lover, you're in luck. MinuteWithMary.com/discount gets you 15% off my favorite mascara. Mm-hmm. I want you to try it. I mean, heck, everybody loves mascara. So if you got lashes, you can rock this mascara. It's going to change your life.
Even some guys love mascara. I mean, hey, you know, with some guys are in on it. And that's cool.
Yes, Blake.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Many people.
Everybody loves mascara.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Now it's time for the GBGs. So yeah. My good, my bad, my great. My good. Goodbye, Vibica.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fly away. Fly away like a little bird. Or not. You know, I have not enjoyed Vibica.
How come?
Because she's stale toast. Do you like
stale toast?
Yeah. Not even white toast. Stale white toast. You bore me.
Oh, wow. Stale white toast. So, yeah. Like, it's been toasted, but it's been sitting out on the counter for a while?
I mean, I felt bad for her. She had, once again, we acknowledged it in the previous episode. She doesn't have any friends to play with.
Yes.
Probably all the kids of Everwitch are, like, freaking out, don't want to play with her. She, you know, she doesn't have a soccer team. She obviously isn't meeting with the school counselor. I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot that I feel bad about.
She ain't attending gym classes either.
No. No long jump for her. She is not part of the track and field
team.
No. So I'm kind of glad because kids often are dead weight, as we got to see in the previous season.
Especially Vibica.
So I didn't want to have her stick around too long. I was bored of her.
Yeah.
I know she served a purpose, and now that purpose, so my good part of that is not just that she died, because you guys are like, Mary.
It's that she served her purpose.
Is that she served her purpose, yeah. And now, if Brita...
kid died.
If Brita wasn't already bananas, B-A-N-A-S. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Yeah. I just spelled bananas.
It's okay.
Bananas, she's bananas. My bad. Was Stiera asking Uhtred, can you please... stay here with us, Daddy. Like, my brother's balls got cut off. I was just almost killed. All my friends were just killed. I have no friends. My husband's hair is wicked short, and I don't know if I'm going to want to, like, cuddle him tonight because it's going to feel different. Mm-hmm. Can you please just hang out here? And I know Stior is a very strong woman, and she's just saying, us Danes need to stick together.
Well, she's also
family
saying...
family needs to stick together.
It's also that it's for Sigtryggr's benefit, not
yes.
just hers.
Yeah, like, this is your son-in-law, and he really likes you, and this would be good. And I'm upset that Uhtred doesn't stay.
Oh, okay.
My bad.
I'm sorry. I misinterpreted. I thought you were upset that she asked.
No, I'm upset that he says no. Because, Uhtred, you continue to be a shoddy dad. Yes, you just came and, like, saved your daughter.
Yeah, I feel like that's a pretty sweet dad move.
No, it's called, this is what you're supposed to do, dad move. You're supposed to save your kids.
So you don't get extra credit for doing the thing that you're supposed to do.
Correct.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's just like, this is normal. And here she is saying, can you please stay a little while? He needs a friend. His brother's bananas, B-A-N-A-S. That's it. Not even bananas, too. He's just bananas. If you have white paint on your face, you're just
bananas.
You're bananas. If you follow a little girl with a feather, you're bananas. So I just feel bad.
Bananas.
For Stiora. I just feel like her dad has been a lifelong disappointment. And that really, the reason that he came was because Sigtryggr went and to go get him.
Oh, interesting.
And had it not been Brita, would he have even come? Had Brita not chopped off his son's balls, would he have even come? Or would he have just been like, whatever, Sigtryggr can handle it. I've got other things to deal with. Because that's essentially what he's saying right now.
Yeah, but there's a couple of things pulling at him. And you have to... appreciate that, right? Because
I'm not saying it's the worst. I'm just saying it's my bad.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Because I've not thought he was a good dad. He doesn't even know where his third kid is.
Nobody knows where even the writers don't even know where the third kid is.
At least he has balls. That's what we're going to call the third kid.
Balls.
Yeah. Boy with balls. Baby with balls.
Oh,
Lord
man.
Knows how old he is.
It's like 10 years old by now. Gotta
good.
Be.
Okay, so he's moved from baby with balls to boy with balls.
Just walking around.
Balls.
Just
letting him
just
be free.
Roaming around, making decisions.
Maybe he's wearing a kilt, okay?
Maybe Hild still has him.
Who
I
knows?
Don't know.
Who knows?
Where is Hild?
And my great was the clip you played, actually, Finn in talking with Uhtred. So, okay, your GBG.
My good is when Uhtred tells Ethelstan, hey, you know, it's okay, don't worry about it when you puke. Like, I puke too. And
We all puke.
I puked when I made my first battle. And I just liked it because it was a callback to when, I think it was the first episode or first or second episode when Uhtred has his first kill. And afterwards, you'd think like, oh, it's this big heroic moment and Uhtred walks out. No, the first episode or the second episode, he pukes right into that bale of hay. And I thought, oh, wow, what a great callback to that. I remember calling it out in the moment thinking, wow, this is not what you would expect from the antagonist, the protagonist of the show, the hero of the show. Here he is puking on his shoes because he just killed somebody. I find that a good grounding moment for that show. It was something that was different. Mm-hmm. And the show finds a way to celebrate that still with Ethelstan. Ethelstan is going to be the king of England. And here he is puking after seeing his first dead person.
Hey, like, we've all been there.
Good stuff, man. I mean, I haven't, I haven't seen a dead person. Well, technically I have, but you know what I mean? I just like that. The bad for me, somehow, some way, this Vibica decides, you know, what's a great idea? Let's go climb a building to the highest tippity-top point of the building and just chill out there while the battle happens. Do I see the benefit? Yes, but it is an inexplicable move from this child. Ultimately, you can tell that they're emphasizing that she is straight up bananas, that she's going up on this roof. But more importantly, it's bad not because of the child, and the child decides to go up there. I mean, that's just a childlike decision. But it's bad because the show needed an excuse to stop Uhtred and Breeda in their fight. Because if the fight kept going, one of them was going to die. And more than likely, it was going to be Breeda.
Yeah.
And the show needed something to get them to stop. And what they did was, is they, after that beautiful scene of Hippica walking and like the sword, like brushing up against her hair a little bit, the show chooses to put Vibica in this situation where she's at the top of a building, she jumps down, she falls, and she dies. That is such a lazy move, in my opinion.
I think differently. I think she dies because of what her mother asked her to do.
Oh, yeah, certainly.
And so I don't think it's lazy.
I get it, but I wish they found a more creative way to stop the fight and still create a choice that Vibica has to make. And her just her going on this roof and then jumping and like the whole thing, I just found it wildly lazy. The idea behind it is smart. Like the idea that Vibica has to make this choice. Mm-hmm. She chooses her mother. She dies as a result. It is Breeda's fault.
Yes.
I like that. The idea behind it. Mm-hmm. The application, very poor. Speaking of ideas, I have another great. Well, I mean, my great is thematic and great based. I mean, idea based. And that is the show is drawing this comparison. However subtle it might be, they're drawing a comparison to Ethelfled and Breeda. And it's really drawing a comparison to the relationships that mothers and daughters share on the show. That, of course, refers to what the heck's her name?
Ethelfled.
Ethelfled's mother. Why am I blanking on it? It's the morning.
Yeah.
It's the morning. Her relation. Oh my God. What is her mother's name?
Does it begin with an E?
People are screaming at their radios right now.
We know who you're talking about.
Yes. Anyway, it's contrasting that relationship, how Ethelfled is relating to her, how she's relating to Ethelfled, the things that she's trying to say. Ethelfled's being like, no, I'm doing what I'm doing. I need to speak to my daughter the way that I need to speak to her. Leave me alone. And at the same time, we have this stuff happening with Breida where, you know, she makes these choices. Her daughter dies, and there is there. I'm not saying that the power that Ethelfled is carrying costs her her life, because I don't think, you know, that is
no.
I don't think they're connected, but the again, the idea of it is that Ethelfled is in this place of power. She wields that power for good, and yet here she is dying. Breida is in a place of power. She wields that power for what she thinks is good, but is ultimately kind of evil. Mm-hmm. And she lives, but her daughter dies. And I find this comparison just really smart, and I really like when the show takes the time to juxtapose these kind of relationships.
Yes, agreed.
Between women, and especially highlighting women at this time. I mean, it's so easy to just fall into line with the male storylines. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But they don't. And I think it's just a smart choice. I think it's just great. I love the fact that, you know, Breida has her daughter, and she's trying to make a world where her daughter is the seer, and she has this ultimate power, and the daughter is just in line, and she's doing it, and she dies as a result, and Ethelfled's trying to pass it on to her daughter, and her daughter doesn't want any of it, and mm-hmm. but yet the daughter has to make not a sacrifice, but recognizes the importance of it. There's this great comparisons here. So that is my great.
Awesome.
So
I did
that
it.
Is that. I need to find out this woman's name now. So please, if you could, just vamp for me for a minute.
You know, I'm good at vamping.
I know. I know you are.
Good at vamping.
What else stood out to you?
Well, some of the things obvious that stood out to me is just Uhtred coming in with his bros.
Aelswith. Freaking Aelswith. So okay. Stupid.
No, you're not. It's in the morning, Blake.
I know.
This is what happens. So Uhtred and the men come on through the tunnels, and Ethelstan gets to have some killing moments, of course, which you noted. And I loved that little bit. Now I know how a turd feels.
Yeah. Oh, Citric.
Because no one was complaining while they were wading through poopy water.
That's
true. They just were getting it done. And I thought, is it really a sewer? Mm-hmm. Or is it a just runoff thing, you know, to keep the streets from flooding? Because none of these guys are complaining. And I feel like anytime I've seen anybody trudge through a sewer, mm-hmm. they got all the rats everywhere. And they're like, ew, is this poopy water? Ew, it smells like they complain. None of these guys complain.
No, they're just going.
And then when they do acknowledge it, yeah. It's just like, all right, now I know the life cycle of a turd.
You know, every time I see Citric, all I could think of is Bianca when he's like, okay, boy, who looks like a rat? Like, for some reason, that stuck with me all this time.
I appreciate
every,
that.
Even when I see the poor actor in real life, I'm like, boy, who looks like a rat? Like,
aww.
That you still do, dude.
So they come into the city. They let out all of Steora's people. Watching Steora fight, I got to tell you, that girl's going to be doing some like beach body workouts or something.
Oh,
because she
yeah.
is probably so disappointed in her fighting skills.
Yeah. She needs to hit the payo. That's what she needs to
She needs some combat lessons. She did a good job. And I know that...
She held her own.
I mean, and let's be real. Her strengths are different than Breida's. Breida is a warrior. And Breida has this fire inside of her to always fight.
Yeah.
So that's her jam. And she hangs out in camps with guys that's what they do for fun is kill each other.
Right. And Steora certainly, too, has a rage that I think is motivating her. But
she has more leadership qualities and more of the more patient leader.
Like yeah, and she's just not a trained fighter the way that...
Her hubby is. You know, they're the right. yin and yang. They balance each other out.
Absolutely. Just like you and me.
Yeah.
You know?
Neither of us are trained fighters, so we're totally in trouble when the zombie apocalypse hits, but sure.
But I'm not a nice person, and you are, and yeah. I'm Banas, and you not. So I appreciate that.
Oh, Okay.
I appreciate the yin and yang of their relationship.
What was sad was, of course, this was a micro army. You know, we didn't get anybody from Ethel fled. And then when Edward's guys do come, they're late. Let's be real. Even on horseback.
Yeah, but they show up on horses. That's a big deal. You know when the horses show up and nobody else got horses, that army's going to win.
Yeah.
Well, if anything, we learned that from Lord of the Rings.
True. Very true. If you're an elf on a horse.
Oh, yeah. You're automatically.
No! That's the easy button. In the old days. Yeah. The faux old days.
Yeah, man.
Get a horse.
The fold days.
Yeah.
You get a horse, you win. That's how it works.
So then as I said, you know, for my bad is when Styra, after the battle is won, and Uhtred kind of lets Bree to go free, Styra gives him the business saying, that was a dumb move, Dad. Can I please go finish it? You're a fool. It's because you got feelings for Brita. Oh, but she's mourning. So what? She just almost killed your daughter.
Yes. And this to me, Mary, again, this to me screams out that Brita is not the big bad. I mean, I'm sure she's going to find a way to come back and do what she's got to do. But like the amount of people that she has following her now, they're like down to like.
But she's Banna's now.
Yeah.
And Styra knows that. And Styra knows she was able. Breed has been able to build back again. So we should not stop fearing her. And
no.
I think, you know, I understand Styra's plight. She just killed all of her besties. They were having a sleepover party in the sewer.
Yep.
And she killed all of them. Goodbye. Blood. Oh, you care about this person? Blood in your face. Blood in your face. And here's Styra saying, Dad, she was right there. Please go kill her. She chopped off brother's balls. She almost killed me. She killed all my friends.
So then how can Uhtred leaving be your bad then? If Styra's saying, go get her.
Yeah, he doesn't go get her. And then she says, can you please at least stay with us? So my husband.
But he does go get her. He takes his guys and they go. They don't find her.
No.
But they go try to get her. They go into the woods. And remember,
oh, my God. But barely. Please. He's like, yeah. He's basically like our kids when we say, did you really look in your room for that book? Yeah.
Yeah, of course I did.
Sure I did. And they don't look in your eyes.
They were just playing Pokemon the whole time.
That's what I mean. That's basically, Dad, did you really look for Brita? I did look.
I looked for about five seconds.
Okay. Ethelstan puked, though, so we had to come back to get some Listerine.
And I didn't find my Mewtwo VMAX card, so.
Yeah, so then she's like, okay.
Uhtred played Pokemon.
You didn't find her. You can, because you're Uhtred, son of Uhtred. Can you at least please stay? Because my husband's going to be having some nightmares. I've got no best friends anymore. I need some help washing the streets from the blood of my best friends. Mm-hmm. There's kind of like no strong person here. We're kind of weak. And Cid Tricker really could use a friend/daddy figure.
Yeah, but what about the fact that, as we have said in our great, that there is this conversation between Finnan and Uhtred and... Whatever we want to say
he
about
says,
it.
He says, I need to go to Ragnarok or wherever it is that he goes.
Runcover?
Yeah.
Well, no, he says.
He says, my home is in Runcover. Like, I appreciate that.
Ragnarok.
Yeah.
It's the end of the world.
Okay, sorry. He doesn't, it's not just like, oh, no, I'll be right back. I need to go see Ethelfled. She's dying.
Yes.
And I'll be right back. It's... No, I'm sorry, XYZ, and my home is in Runkova. Your home, Uhtred, is with your family. You are a bad dad again.
I don't know. If someone told me that you were croaking, I would have to...
I'm fine with him going to visit. That's what I'm saying. Okay, he could say, like, I'm going to go see Ethelfled, right, and then I'll BRB.
Okay, yep, gotcha.
You love Cid Tricker. You know what love does to you. I will BRB. But he's like, no, I'm going to go see Ethelflaed. And then my home is in the party town that I made that's on the water.
I got some Bud Lights that are waiting for me.
Yeah, man. We got it good there.
And those big yard
Haven't
length.
Haven't you seen our like feast parties? The next one's about to come. So I don't know. I was just disappointed.
What do you feel about the whole stuff with Ethelflaed and what's happening with her? And by the way, as much as we've made fun of Aldhelm for being the Uber ride, oh man, there's that moment again. The show has these great.
They've made investments in character development.
Yeah, they have these great little bits of inspiration where Uhtred takes that time to think about in the starting and stopping sentences. And they have one with Aldhelm after he leaves the room with Ethelflaed. He like stops and takes a moment and catches his breath, and you can see him about to cry. The whole man, you can really feel and understand the pain that he's undergoing at this moment. And for someone who we've ranked on for a long time, I really felt for him in this moment. And I really felt for, I loved when he chides Elfwyn and is like, girl, stop. Your mother cares about you. Mm-hmm. And there's some bad stuff happening. I mean, he doesn't tell her that there's bad stuff, but she needs to talk to you. So get it together.
Yep.
Good on him for being able to do that.
I concur.
Good on him. And good on Ethelflaed for recognizing that Aldhelm actually really does care and will put.
And we've known Elfwyn, he's cared.
But like, there's a thing of just recognizing that someone cares, but also carrying through on that and giving them the opportunity to see that you see them and what they've done and appreciate what they've done. Mm-hmm. And here, Ethelflaed is giving Aldhelm the keys to what I think is probably the most important thing to her, and that is her daughter. That is a massive, massive gift to Aldhelm. Mm-hmm. And that show of appreciation.
Agreed.
I mean, it could just as easily have been someone like Uhtred, but it's not. It's Aldhelm. What do you think about all that and the relationship that has developed between those two?
I love it. I love it so much. But I also think what we have to keep into perspective is that Aldhelm has nobody else. We've never seen a family. We've never seen brothers or sisters. Mm-hmm. He has no children. Like Ethelflaed has been his sole person that he's cared about. Mm-hmm. Whereas Uhtred, son of Uhtred, he's got like love ADD. You know, I'll go see this kid. I'll go see that kid. I'll go see Ethelflaed. I'll go see my boys. I'll go hang out with people who don't even treat me well. So I love that he has been there as a constant for her. Mm-hmm. And that has been his purpose in life, has been for Mercia. Mm-hmm. Because truly she has given her life as well to Mercia.
The whole idea of the Witten and Phil's grandson being put up on there, mm-hmm. and the battle that is probably going to ensue with Elfwyn potentially being the next leader of Mercia. Does any of this interest you?
No.
How come?
I don't like her.
Because I can tell that you don't care about any of that.
No, I'm sick of politics and guys buying their way into stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay, it still happens today. I'm sick of it. And people be meddling. And her daughter doesn't really grasp it or care. And so it's hard to be saying, okay, you need to inherit this just because, when this may not be what she wants for her own life. I just feel bad for these kids that are told this is what you have to do. Mm-hmm. There's no choice in the matter. And then all these guys thinking they could pull a fast one because of their money.
Do Do you think Elfwyn is really buying in on what her mother is saying, or is she saying it just because her mother is dying? And yeah, sure, I'll do whatever I got to do. And
I think death can make you act quickly and respond quickly, but I think it has significant impact. So do I feel like this is what she truly wants? No. But do I think that this is what she thinks and knows she has to do right now? And because this has been her mother's sole purpose, she will find her way? Yeah. I believe she can grow into it.
Regardless of however you feel about the politics, was it a moving scene for you where Ethelfled is speaking to her daughter and her daughter is finding this acceptance?
It was. Because of Ethelfled. I could care less about her daughter, but I thought Ethelfled did a great job.
The show has been doing this funny thing where it does what a lot of television shows do, which is make the children annoying as hell. Like, there's still that scene that I think of where Ethelflaed's trying to explain to Elfwyn, hey, listen, you need to do this. And Elfwyn's like, no, I'll never do it. And instead of like just being normal, she just runs away. Dude, you're like 17. What are you doing running away from your mother?
Agreed.
I hate when shows do this. I hate when television shows are forced to give children or
annoying roles
or whatever, like, you know, the Kim Bauer syndrome, right? Where you just, you need to give Kim Bauer something to do. So you're going to make her confront a mountain lion, right?
Like, yes.
By the way, for those of you who don't get that reference, it's a reference to 24 season 2. Okay, whatevs.
Or maybe 5, since Blake doesn't know his numbers today.
Definitely not episode 202, I'll tell you that. Either way, yet, at the same time, I asked you if you were moved by it, and you said yes because of Ethelfled. But oddly enough, I was kind of moved by it because of Elfwyn.
Good.
For some reason, I kind of bought the emotionality that she had.
Yes.
And I kind of bought the fact that she walked in there thinking that her mother was going to be busting her balls, and it was quite the opposite. And that is a stark difference to what it could have been, and as such, I find, yeah, that makes sense to me. When you expect one thing and it becomes a totally different thing, you find yourself, I think, as you said, death makes people move quickly, Mary. I think that expectation also makes people move quickly.
I also think that you connect with young characters who are losing a parent.
Sure. I will cop to that, because for those of you who don't know, my mother died when I was 18. So yeah, I will cop to that as well, because it's a hard thing, and it's I carry a soft spot for stuff like that.
Of course.
So yeah, absolutely. All right, let's talk about the stuff with, well, we talked about Phil and what he's doing, and all right, well, here's an early Destined to Be theory of the week. As I said, I don't think that Breeda is the big bad. I've been saying this now, I think, since episode 1. It's Phil.
Okay.
Phil is the person that we have to be watching out for. Because Phil is the one, he's like the new Ethelwald. But I think in a way that is much scarier than Ethelwald, because while Ethelwald did what he did and he incited what he incited, it feels to me that Ethelhelm,
he's got the money, honey.
He's got the money and he's got the people, and he feels more effective. As a result, what you can see happening is there's going to be a big conflict in Mercia.
Yes.
And what that will mean for the kingdom. And how that will bring in Edward. What that will do to the crown on the inside, but on the outside as well. Because Mercia and the Witten will be at odds, potentially. And how Uhtred is going to be wrapped up in all of this. At the same time, we have the stuff with Breeda.
Yeah.
And I don't see a way for the stuff with Breeda, the animosity with Breeda, being able to continue. Either she has to die or there has to be a reconciliation.
Well, you know, the Breeda stuff is on a different burner. You know how you got your stove and you got like four burners?
Yes.
More or five or however many you've got. In our stove, we've got some big ones and we've got some little ones. And I feel like Breeda is now being moved to a little one.
Yes.
But that thing can still boil. That thing can still put off heat. I don't see Uhtred right now needing to get involved with the Æthelhelm stuff.
Yep.
What I find really discouraging and confusing is how Edward continues to interact with him.
Yeah.
Like, why not call him out? Why not put this guy in a little jail? Why? What are you doing? You're just like, well, okay.
I mean, like I said, this is essentially a Mary and Blake Media commandment. It always goes back to the Godfather. Okay, it always comes back to the Godfather. Keep your friends close. Keep your enemies closer. And I think he's waiting for Phil to hang himself in a big way. Mm-hmm. And he's keeping him in the loop to get a clearer picture of his plan. When, what the heck's her name? Edgefu? The new girl. When the new girl, by the way, a really writerly way to get Edward in on, like, to make him understand the plans that Phil's coming up with. Mm-hmm. Like, this girl's just happens to be in the right place at the exact right time, and Phil just happens to be speaking about this really secret and,
yes,
like, treasonous plan,
yes,
in the middle of a doorway with his daughter openly.
Yes.
That's a little lazy. And agreed. That's why I'm saying there are things in this episode that I really love. And mm-hmm. then it, but the things that I don't love are really lazy. Mm-hmm. And that's what brings it down to a 4-2 for me. Because the plot needs this to happen. Mm-hmm. So it has to find a way. Just like how the plot needed Breeda and Uhtred to stop fighting.
Yep.
It needs these things to happen. So it jams reasoning into a thing where it doesn't belong.
Agreed.
But irrespective of that, Mary, you do have...
That's something that has to happen in a play when you only have so much real estate on a stage.
Right.
And you need to hurry things up because you've got like an hour to 3-hour show and that's it.
And this is the problem that I think The Last Kingdom does face. Even though we have expanded the storytelling to 10 episodes, thank God we did. Mm-hmm. But the show still continues to just burn through its plot. Mm-hmm. Even though we're having these great little character moments that we've already highlighted, the show still just, oh my God, it runs at an incredible pace. Mm-hmm. It needs to do things like this in order to keep its pace, in order to keep its stuff going. So it has to manufacture,
yes,
a way for the stuff to happen.
Yes.
What it does well in manufacturing is the relationship that Sigtryggr shares with Steora.
Okay.
But also, yes, Uhtred. But Sigtryggr's response to what happened at Efferwich.
Yeah.
Right? He is pissed. And yes, because of his brother. And he makes a decision about his brother. But he's pissed because these people abandoned him. And his response is one of anger and frustration. And I've let these Christians come in here and poison, yep, my people. This kind of comes out of nowhere. The poison,
really?
the poisoning of the people. Because he was okay. I mean, I'm sure there was some level of him being like, yeah, I don't like this, but I'm going to let it happen because, hey, this is their choice and we're living with the peace. But regardless of all that, what that response does for me is tells me so much more about his character than any of the other stuff that has happened so far.
I mean, he just saw his town be slaughtered. He was just almost killed.
Yep.
And I feel like when you have those life or death situations, it makes you reevaluate things. And the fact that they didn't come to his aid, I'd be spewing pretty similar things.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not saying that. I'm judging him for spitting fire.
Okay,
I'm saying it enlightens and it gives vibrancy to his character. Right. Mm-hmm. Again, a character you're able to tell who a character is when you can describe things that aren't what he looks like, what he does, how, you know, and what he wears. Mm-hmm. These things, like getting angry and acting irrationally and acting in a way that he really hasn't acted as of yet.
Mm-hmm.
It sheds light on the kind of stressors he's under. And I like that. I find that
Agreed.
Smart writing.
Agreed.
What do you think about the whole stuff between his brother and he and the trial?
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm with Stiora on this. Kill the beast.
Kill the beast. Speaking of Stiora.
Yeah.
Oh, when she's looking at the brother and she's giving that side eye.
Yeah.
I was looking at that. I'm like, oh, man, that is some rough look right there. And all I thought of was Gisela.
Oh, I'm like, all I thought of was me having to look at my in-laws.
Oh, that's true. Good point. Good point. You know what, Mary? Once again.
Bam! Just like that. A winner!
Yes, absolutely.
We have a few nice ones. We do have a few nice ones, but many of them have been unkind.
But most of them?
Not great, Bob.
Truth.
Yeah, all I thought of was Gisela. I just, all I could think of that was... This is Gisela's daughter. Uh-huh. Like, that would be a Gisela move right there. Just, mm-hmm. just like, acid coming out of those eyes.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man.
Yep. I believe it.
What do you think about the cliffhanger at the end where...
I love it. The guy has to touch this, like, iron thing in boiling water.
Yeah.
And you just hear the flesh cooking. And suddenly you want rotisserie chicken. Tastes like chicken. Yeah. I don't know how. I wouldn't be able to do that.
Oh no, 0.0 chance. And not to say that you wouldn't. I would be able to, because I wouldn't. But yeah. There's no way.
No, I could not. I can't even handle hot weather. It got up to 84 yesterday, and both me and our daughter were like, "It's so hot out."
Like a tick above normal humidity.
It's been actually very, very cold this summer. And
it's so hot.
What is this wet sweat? What is this?
Let's go to the AC.
Yep.
I don't know. I kind of found it to be... this was one of the few times where I feel like we're manufacturing an ending for the sake of Netflix.
Oh, see, the thing that I do like is that The Last Kingdom wouldn't do this, just whatever. Like, they must have done this kind of thing in the past.
Oh, sure. I'm saying, but to end the episode on that note,
mm-hmm.
I think it flies in the face of what the previous, what this episode actually just, like, you're seeing a structure so far where a big thing happens in the beginning and then they go through the episode and then it ends on a relatively contemplative ending. And even this episode, it begins with this big battle and it begins with this huge moment. And then it goes through the middle portion of it. And we have this contemplative ending where it's like, are we going to put the brother on trial?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's the end. And keeping with the structure of the episodes, the next episode should have begun with him sticking his hands.
Oh, okay.
With the trial beginning and sticking his hands into it. Like,
I mean, but it is Netflix and they can do this stuff. And
right. So
I feel like Bridgerton does this. I feel like many Netflix shows, Stranger Things does this.
Absolutely.
This is just a Netflix thing and I'm okay with it. Like, we don't like it because we go episode by episode and then have to stop. But the normal person who's listening to this, who already knows the future, they're like, whatever, man.
Yeah, it got me great. To the next episode. Yeah, like
it made me stay up past midnight, but I don't care. It was worth it.
Yeah, so I think you answered my question, but my question was going to be, and I know we've discussed this, not ad nauseum, but I know we've discussed it. Is the Netflix model a good model for both storytelling and keeping you engaged with the show.
Yeah.
And but I'm saying both for a reason, right? Because sometimes they don't equal. They're not the same. Sometimes.
Okay.
And in my estimation, this episode, the ending is not it's not telling a complete story because it's adding extra things into an already completed story.
I mean, I'm fine with it, Blake.
Fair enough. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I just giving you my opinion there. Mm-hmm. Lastly, I think I want to talk about the stuff with Edward.
Oh, I'm mad at him. Why is he not standing up to Ethelhum? Okay?
Well, we already discussed that.
Aelswyth? This is not Aelswyth's son right now. Aelswyth?
No, but this, to me, is Alfred's son.
It is Alfred, except Alfred would actually have a good plan that we would kind of hear about because he'd be talking about it. And instead, he's like, oh, I'm so mad at Ethelhum. How dare he? And then he's like, okay, so, yeah, what are your plans, man? Oh, you're not going to tell me? Okay, bye.
Well, no, he did tell him.
Didn't really tell him. He didn't say, I'm bribing all these guys.
Well, that's true.
He said, oh, you should go and you should take your son.
And can I come with you?
Yeah. And that's when I would have said, no.
Well, yes, you would have. But Alfred, I think, would have kept going. I think Alfred would have been like, yeah.
I think Alfred would have called
him out. The bastard thinks. And I think Edward is thinking at this moment. Maybe he ain't moving as quick as
his
dad would.
He's not a bastard.
Well, no. Remember, that's what Leofrich used to say about Alfred. The bastard thinks. And I think he's thinking. I wonder at what pace he's thinking, but it's there nonetheless. And speaking of Alfred, I kind of like the fact that Edward is kind of like his dad. Like, his dad made mistakes. He wasn't always perfect. He always mm-hmm. he didn't always do the right thing. And the show continues to make it a point that Edward isn't necessarily doing the right thing by banging chicks on the side. As much as we kind of like the new chick, it's kind of weird. And I kind of feel bad for his wife. Like, I feel a little bad.
Agreed.
Right? Aelfled, like, she is under the spell, under Phil's spell a little bit.
Yes.
And she's kind of got herself caught up in this political scheming here. Mm-hmm. But don't you get the sense that she kind of wants to just be a good wife? Like, she just kind of wants to do the right thing for the
most
part.
She wants to do the right thing and
she's gotta
doesn't know what that is.
She's got to protect her kid. And Edward is kind of putting in her position mm-hmm. where she has to do the things that she's doing. Right?
Yeah.
So, like, I kind of feel bad for her. And that's weird saying that.
You can feel bad for a lot of people for a lot of reasons. Maybe it's just your humanity coming out finally.
I don't like that.
Yeah. I know.
All right. You got anything else you'd like to say about this episode?
No, I'm excited to go into the next one because Netflix knows how to have a cliffhanger.
All right, my love.
Oh, wait. How long do you think it's going to be till Ethelfled dies? I think 2 episodes.
I say next episode she croaks.
Wow, nice.
And I think she has to croak because she will find... Uhtred will meet up with her. They'll have their moment. And after her moment, she dies. And that is what gets this plot moving. Mm. And it's by design that now Edward and Phil are on the way to Mercia.
Okay.
It's by design that Uhtred is on the way to Mercia. Yep. It's by design that Aldhelm is now taking care of the daughter. Mm-hmm. Like, all of these things have now, I think they're going to be reaching a... they're not going to be reaching a pinnacle, but this is the beginning of all of it. And it makes sense, too, right? Because mm-hmm. this is now the end of the third episode. This is the end of the... It's essentially the first act. now we're getting into the second act of the season, and that is the beginnings of the Mercian conflict and what that will do. Because again, we have 10 episodes, right? So you can count the math out, and we're already establishing that.
Love it.
So that's that.
I'm here for
it. I think she dies next episode.
Okay. I mean, I don't love that she's going to die, but I hear you.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
No.
All right. Let's close it out, shall we?
Yeah. We want to thank you all so incredibly much for listening to this, The Last Kingdom. As I said, don't forget to head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating and a review. We have tons of other podcasts in case you're like, this isn't enough and I want to listen to Mary and Blake talk about other things. You can find out everything we do at maryandblake.com. And don't forget, if you are interested in checking out some new makeup or skincare, MinuteWithMary.com is your one-stop shop. But I do give complimentary tutorials and fun little bits like that. Just search the hashtag MinuteWithMary.
And go to the Facebook. Mary and go to the MaryandBlakeStore.com where you have all of the great Last Kingdom merch that we have there, including our Screw You Crow shirts. That's a crowd favorite. The Positive Vibes Only Uhtred shirt with him in the sunglasses. Oh my goodness. You just go to the MaryandBlakeStore.com. Check out the stuff there that for The Last Kingdom. In addition to all of the other shows that we do, it's a great place for all the nerdy stuff that you'd love. And lastly, join the nerdclan.com. Go there to join a bunch of nerds. As a matter of fact, I just completed my final review of Obi-Wan Episode 6, the finale of Obi-Wan Kenobi. It is now up there if you were a fan of Obi-Wan Kenobi. I'm also thinking, Mary, of doing one, of doing a series for Stranger Things Season 4 at jointhenerdclan.com.
Nice.
So we'll see. I mean, for knee-jerk reactions.
And in your spare time.
I know, right? And usually that's when you're sleeping at night. And
I have long COVID.
I know. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying that's, I got nothing else to do, so I might as well just type.
Well, on that note, friends, my name is Mary.
My name is Blake.
Destiny is all.